This is URN Sport.
Students at the University of Nottingham, they know what this means.
This is Jeff Selling from Sky Sports, and you're listening to URN Sport.
Bit of space for Ben Osborne towards the edge of the penalty area. The youngster goes on and smashes it home! What a strike from Ben Osborne!
All 25 yards out, he's going to shoot! Oh, what a goal from John Stead!
This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Jeremy Dunn. I'm joined here in the studio by Alex, Jimmy and Matt. And we are going to be running over the next hour all the latest news from Bucks, what there is of it, because there hasn't been much of it, as you'd expect, going on over the Christmas period. So we'll be filling in much more of the show this time, talking about everything that's been going on with our local football teams of Nottingham Forest and Notts County, because there has been quite a bit of news that has been going on with those. But that will be coming up more in the second half of the show. We will be starting things off then by looking at Bucks. This is usually the point of the show where we would go straight to our Bucks roundup that we would have recorded, but as I said, there hasn't actually been much at all that has been going on over the period. So for this part of the show is going to be much more of a preview of what's to come, as well as looking at the second half of the Bucks season that we will be looking forward to. At the moment, the University of Nottingham retains their spot in the top three, as the original aim was for the start of the year, with the University currently sat in third place behind Durham and Loughborough. Despite the fact that periods of this year we have been holding on to that top spot, it seems that Loughborough towards the end of last year really started to gather that momentum and now sits a commanding 380 points ahead of us. So guys, we'll start things off then just by looking ahead at the moment, halfway through the season, and the University of Nottingham sit in third. Adam Pratchett, earlier on in the year when we spoke to him, he said that the objective of the university was that he wants to solidify a position as a top three university, and well, at the moment we are doing that, but the point at the moment, I'll start things off probably with you, Matt, is that considering earlier on in the year we weren't leading the race, the fact that we're now back in third, I suppose it's probably brought us back down to earth, if anything, and more probably that Loughborough have remembered how to play.
Yes, we had some very excitable conferences where I remember we briefly thought, can we do it? Can Nottingham be first for the first time ever? And the answer is probably no, sadly. But we've talked a lot about building for the future. We're cementing our place as one of the best universities in the country. What we keep on talking about, obviously, we've had a very successful first term with some of our more successful sports, especially table tennis, tennis, hockey and badminton. They're our top four points-winning competitions. So that's what's really got us going on those courts. And we've seen some weeks from table tennis in which they've won 100% of their matches. So hopefully they'll continue their fine form into this semester.
Alex and Jimmy, I'm throwing this over then to you guys. Just looking ahead at it then with the second half, the thing which sort of cost us last year from actually getting a top three finish was that second half of the season and that late run in the summer, specifically with Edinburgh. They overtook us very late on, I remember, and it was swimming was what was proved to be their strong point. This year, when we looked at it, like Matt's touched on, our racket sports have done particularly well. Table tennis, last year they broke for the first time ever in university history the 500 point margin. They don't quite seem to be on track for that, we think, judging by the way they're going this year. They have stumbled a bit more than we would like, but any sort of teams or anything that you would be sort of picking out as you approach the second half of the season?
Well, I think as you were saying there, just as table tennis, we really do have some spectacular players in the table tennis team. I remember watching at Varsity last year, they were just unbelievable, and it streaks ahead of unsurprisingly the Trent team. But as you say, they're getting a lot of points this year, and hopefully they can continue their fine form. Edinburgh, as you say, only maybe 300, 200 points behind us in terms of the Bucks leaderboard. So they will be hoping to catch up and in strengths of theirs. But hopefully teams from Nottingham can hopefully continue their form, and we can hold on to that top three position for the rest of the year, which would be a real achievement for Nottingham, and maybe even push on and try and overtake Durham. But it seems as if Loughborough are going to hold on to that first place position now.
We're a university who has a pretty decent history, and we did get the fourth place finish last year, which was a bit unfortunate with Edinburgh, as Jeremy said, having that late surge. But I think that what we're really starting to see is this trend emerging. of this consistent top five or six universities establishing themselves in the Bucks rankings, being Loughborough, Durham, Edinburgh, Nottingham, Exeter, and sort of on the fringes of that ranking is Bath and Birmingham. And I think that within that, what we should really be aiming to do is, as Adam Pratchett, head of sports, said, be solidifying the top three, whereas Loughborough and Durham consistently come first and second, respectively, but there is some changeover between ourselves and the University of Edinburgh. Right now, whether we can maintain our form and hold on to third, listen, I think we can. I think, Jeremy, you said before about that we have been first earlier in the season, which is correct, but at the same time, it was always a bit of a pipe dream, and I don't think it was maintainable. We're not good enough in certain key areas to be beating the likes of Loughborough and Durham. That's a fact at the minute. We may be in a few years, and we're definitely an up-and-coming university in some sports, like I think particularly futsal, where there's really been a massive development in the last few years. But on balance, we still have to rely on our strengths, like Jimmy said, which are table tennis and hockey, sports where we consistently do well, and they really do contribute very highly to our point tallies.
I think also some of the sports don't perhaps contribute as much in terms of points, but also have strong winning records can be seen with our netball teams, and also rugby union had a strong end last year, winning I think 6 matches in a row for the men's seconds. So we're doing well in other areas, and I think if we want to be a top one university, to borrow a Brian Clough phrase, then what we need to do really is maintain winning standards across the board. I think at the moment we're exceptional in some sports, especially racket sports, and then perhaps less good some of the more summary sports. If we can work on just making those more solid and gradually building up progress, and I think perhaps if you look at a more 5 to 10 year pattern, we could be challenging for the number one spot.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Matt, and you can almost see that has happened over the last 5 years as well, so we could be pushing from that. Because if you look at the 13-14 season and 14-15 season, we came 7th in both of those. So now we're talking about, we really want to be solidifying our position as the top three, and if we don't get third, that'll be quite disappointing. Well, you only have to go back 3 or 4 years, and we were a pretty consistent 7 or 8. So in just a few years, we've really managed to push ourselves up the rankings. So I think that even if we finish 4th again, while it'd be disappointing, it certainly shows that we've solidified ourselves as a top four university. And if we can be pushing into holding third, then it's about solidifying ourselves in the top four or top three, and then in the next 5-10 years we could be pushing other sports where we're notoriously not as good at, i.e. cricket, and to a lesser extent but still football, and starting to challenge teams like Loughborough and Durham.
Hi, this is Matty Cash and you're listening to URN Sport.
We will now then be moving on back to our local teams, which is of course Nottingham Forest and Notts County, because they have had quite busy periods over the winter break, has to be said. We will start off with the biggest story during the break, which was regarding Nottingham Forest and the fact that they did finally get rid of their manager Mark Warburton. I say finally, he was doing actually very well, it has to be said, until unfortunately December rolled around and then it all went to pot. Warburton has now gone. He's been replaced with Karanka, the former Middlesbrough boss. There has already been discussion about this on our Nottingham Forest and Notts County podcast. If you want to hear more in-depth analysis about both the news gone by and also this, then do check that out. The next episode will be coming out, I believe, this weekend, once Joe and the team have sat down and recorded that, including all the press and knowledge that we have been gathering today. Right, ramble done. Moving then on to Nottingham Forest, guys, as I was saying there. So Karanka has come in. Don't think any of us were on that podcast, so none of our thoughts have been put on there, so it's a good chance for us to express them. So I'll start off, Jimmy, with you, with your thoughts on both the sacking of Warburton and probably then the appointment of Karanka.
In terms of the sacking, I don't understand it, really. They were sat in mid-table. Granted, they had a bad run of games, which it was going to happen. They had a run of tough fixtures over December, and although they didn't pick up as many points as most people would have hoped or expected, Warburton has just been seen. I feel like he was doing a decent job. Maybe he wasn't the manager that was going to get them promoted or get them to the playoffs, but he was a stable manager, and I feel that's what Forest needed, is someone who can just keep the club stable for a certain amount of time, because frankly, in terms of owners and managers, Forest have been so interchangeable, just willing to get rid of the manager at a minute's notice sometimes, that Warburton seemed to me to be the man that to just give them stability, make them turn them into maybe not a playoff chasing team this year, but over time he would be able to implement his tactics, bring in his own players, improve youth players, and then they would be able to finally, you know, push up back into the playoffs in terms of a big club, which is where they belong. But unfortunately, he was sacked, and Aitor Karanka has been brought in. I think he's a good manager. As we've seen, you know, he's got history in taking teams out of the Championship. He managed to get Middlesbrough promoted, but then I'm not sure if he's the right man for Forest, because we've seen how Karanka was sacked from Middlesbrough. There was a lot of reports of how he'd lost the dressing room, how he was too aggressive, and maybe he just wasn't willing to work with the players in that sort of situation. And I think if Forest are able to improve, then that's obviously a great thing. But if Karanka comes in and Forest start to struggle, I'm not sure if he's the manager to get them out of that sort of mid-table, potentially relegation battle. If Forest were higher up in the table, you know, pushing for that playoff spot, I think he'd be a really great person to bring in. But I'm not sure on Karanka, but time will tell. He's only had one match in charge. That was a loss to Aston Villa, but you know, there's plenty of time for him to try and implement his own way of playing, and hopefully Forest will start to push up back up the table, because they, you know, they're only 11 points off the playoffs, so they could really still improve and push up that table, and I feel like that's what we all hope for them.
I think there's two points to address here. The first is the actual sacking of Warburton. I think it's really harsh. I think it's really, really, really harsh, to be honest. He came in towards the end of the last season and he did a really good job, to be honest. Because let's not forget, Nottingham Forest weren't exactly smooth sailing when he came in. They were a team who were looking like they could even potentially be relegated. They were sort of playing with fire a little bit in that 18th, 19th position. And he steadied the ship and he did a cracking job. This season he started off very strongly. It wasn't a brilliant start, but it was certainly, people were looking, thinking, oh, maybe Forest could make the playoffs this season. Like most managers, he went through a stage of a few games, it was more than a few, maybe 8 or 9 games where, yeah, the team weren't playing very well. He had a pretty poor spell and the team dropped to that sort of mid-table area. I think it was far too preemptive to sack him. The team were not in a situation where they were dancing near relegation. The team weren't sitting in that 20th, 21st spot. They were about 14th, 15th, 16th. You need to give a manager some time. Every manager, I don't care how good they are, will occasionally go through a spell where their team just isn't performing. And the key to a good manager is how they react to that. If you don't give a manager enough time to react to that, to the problems he faces, then it gives you a bad reputation as a board, and it's just not a wise decision. With regards to Karanka as an appointed manager, I'm not sure. I think one thing he will bring is that his defensive record is very good. When he was sacked from Middlesbrough, their attack was, I mean, it was awful. It was like trying to play snooker with a bit of string, from what I remember. But one thing you do have to give him credit where it's due is apparently they had, I believe when he was sacked, the 5th best defensive record in the league, which is really impressive.
I think they had the most number of 0-0 draws as well that season out of any team, which says a lot.
Exactly. I think that is impressive. So I think that Forest have struggled this season in that they've only had 2 draws. No team wants to play for draws, but if just some of these draws, if some of the losses became draws, I think there's been 10 or more losses, then the points add up, really. Instead of being a mid-table side, they could be in the top 10. What I think the issue is I don't know if Karanka, as Jimmy said, is the man to sit with Forest for the long haul. I feel like Warburton was far more of a manager where he could almost build a bit of a legacy, stay for a few years, first build up the squad as a whole, bring through some of the stronger youth players. I mean, players who will be returning from loan, like we see with Grant and not Scamty, who's certainly not ready for Championship football yet, but give it a few years, certainly will be. A manager's prepared to wait for a few seasons in Championship football and then get promoted with a good squad who can then stay in the Premier League. And someone like Karanka, who, listen, he's a good manager. I don't think anyone's denying that, but he's a defensive manager. And I feel like he's far more effective as taking a team who are already in that top 6 equation, getting them promoted and keeping them there through any means necessary. And if that means scraping out 0-0 draws, that's what it is. The other problem which concerns me immensely about Karanka is his personality. A lot of it is gossip and rumours and sort of whispers in the wind. And that's true. You can't take too much away from that. At the same time, they don't come from nowhere. The rumours don't come from nowhere. And apparently in the last month at Middlesbrough, he just was not on talking terms with any of the staff or players. He ruled in an almost dictator-esque style. He was like a Chavo Guerrero, that sort of managerial style. And that's never good for a club, because it makes the good players want to leave and go elsewhere. It doesn't inspire the youth players. And while it may be good in the short term, it's certainly got not good in the long term.
If Forest thought that they were having a bad year last year, it was even worse for County. But it's been completely turned around now. 1 year on since he was appointed, and Kevin Nolan, the messiah to many County fans, we're teetering on the promotion at this point to League One. If anyone listened to the podcast that went out last week, they will have heard that Joe and Liam, actually, when they went down to County to discuss the or to be present for the draw and get the live thoughts to it, which we're going to come on to in just a second. But it was interesting to hear the thoughts of Alan Hardy, because he was actually very much in he was obviously praising off Kevin Nolan for the fantastic work he's done of recovering a club, which he has said many times was in intensive care. And it is safe to say that we would never want to see the oldest professional football club in the world dropping out of the Football League completely. But guys, well, we've talked a lot about Forest. I mean, we, like I said, you can hear the rest of the team's thoughts, as well as also the thoughts on that FA Cup giant slaying of Arsenal, which we have saved for that specifically. But talking about the FA Cup, guys, County have got rather an interesting game, it has to be said. Their match against Swansea, I believe it was Swansea that emerged,
yeah,
eventual victors in a scrappy match against
it was. John Nye scored a really good goal, but apart from that, it was a pretty scrappy match. But yeah, obviously, Swansea, I think County are home, aren't they?
Yes, it's going to be at Meadow Lane. Now, interestingly, that just on that map, I'm going to actually come to you first on this. Alan Hardy said that he wanted, he didn't want Swansea because he thought that it was Hull, I believe, was the opposition that they brought. He thought that we'd get a bigger turnout for Hull than we would for Swansea at home. But, I mean, you get the chance to play a Premier League team, and not a very good one at that.
Yeah, I think it's a real opportunity for Notts County. Obviously, Notts County have shown excellent form this season. Swansea have been a bit iffy in the Premier League. So perhaps it depends what team Swansea send out. If they send out perhaps less strong team, then I think there's a real chance of an upset. I think it's one that could definitely happen. Obviously, Swansea are the favourites, but it's definitely an opportunity for them to make an impact. And also, I guess it will have a relatively high impact in the media because of the fact it's a Premier League team playing a League Two team. So that's good exposure for them in terms of financial revenues as well. So I think it's all around quite a beneficial fixture for Notts County. If they lose and they play well, it's a great result for them because they've still got the money and they've shown their capabilities. If they win, brilliant.
I think that there's a few things which are really helping County here. For one, I guess the home revenues is a bit of a shame that they didn't get an away draw against a huge team. So that was always great financially. But listen, County's fans are amazing. You're coming off the back of before that, you've got two more home games in the league against Exeter and Crawley. It's a Saturday at 3 o'clock. Hopefully, you'll get a really big turnout, which would be fantastic. They'll also be massively buoyed by some of the recent results in the FA Cup, like Wigan battering Bournemouth. I think that it's the FA Cup, and people have that mindset of anyone can beat anyone. They're not going to be sitting there thinking, we're probably going to get battered, let's go out and play for the draw. They're thinking, we can win this. We're doing phenomenally well. If there's any Premier League team you want to play against, it's Swansea, because they don't play like a Premier League team. They hardly play like a conference team, to be honest. They look dire. So I think that County have it's up to them to really seize the moment and take this game, but yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. I think they've got a very good chance.
I think we didn't really, I mean, not in terms of URM, but in terms of the media as a whole, didn't really discuss the fact that Notts County went to Brentford, a championship team who are certainly no mugs, and they've come away not only keeping a clean sheet, but they've come away with a win there. And to progress there, you know, arguably, I'd say that, well, maybe not, but Swansea at home, in terms of comparable to Brentford away, is similar sorts of difficulty, because Brentford are certainly quite a good team. And I think Swansea, a couple of seasons ago, when they were in the Premier League, they travelled to Oxford, who were League Two at the time, and I'm fairly sure they got absolutely hammered there. And for in terms of County fans, not only is this a great chance for them to test themselves against a Premier League side, but it's a real opportunity to progress to the fifth round, because Swansea certainly won't fancy a trip up to Nottingham and they certainly aren't in the best form. And in terms of a relegation battle, they're probably going to rest players, so it's a real chance for Notts County to progress into the fifth round there, and hopefully they'll turn up and cause a really big upset against the Premier League Swansea.
I think Notts County just got to go for it. I think there's no in betweens, and obviously Swansea not in good form, so they just need to go for it all guns blazing, because at the end of the day it's better to lose perhaps by a couple of goals than to lose 1-0 having played defensively. So I think if they prefer that attitude, then they'll be effective in their approach. I think it's important to have direction in their play. I actually saw Notts County play over the Christmas break as away at Swindon, and obviously as a Swindon fan, very pleased with the 1-0 win. But Notts County were quite poor for 75 minutes of the game. They lacked direction. John Stead looked a bit toothless up front on his own in the blustery conditions, and they only really realised they were 1-0 down with about 10 minutes left and decided they better start playing some football. So they obviously can't leave it too late against Swansea. I think they need to make a purposeful, impactful start, and if they can do that well and perhaps get an early goal in the first half, then that can reset them up.
This is URN Sport.